Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Axles. Yum.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Best Line Racing. Our new Diamond Nanotechnology acts as tiny ball bearings that keep the boundary layer strong, smooths out the metal surfaces, and is virtually impervious to heat and pressure. This keeps you in your rig rather than under it. High performance is more than our products, it's our lifestyle. Best Line Racing.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even doing what Jason loves to do and making fun of Toyotas, and of course, hearing about the return of the Axle Talk podcast, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. I am one of your hosts today, and we have our, lucky, unlucky enough to have multiple co-hosts and people in the studio today. We have, sitting to my right, the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jett. Dude, were you in a Spartan race?
I've done a few.
No, you have.
I have.
That's impressive, actually.
I could never
do one of those.
They have a race. They have an event that they kind of call the trifecta.
Okay.
And it's more or less a short, medium, and long version.
Uh-huh.
And you have to do it within a calendar year.
Yeah. Okay.
I did a medium.
Uh-huh.
I did the long.
Uh-huh.
And when I did the long, I happened to do the, it was like the long that was up at Squaw Valley. It was the national championship, and uh-huh. they made it longer and harder than any of the other longs that year.
How'd that go for you?
It sucked, but I did it.
What's long, hard, and brown? A stick.
What's brown and sticky?
A stick.
A stick. Yeah. And then I hurt my knee playing uh-huh. indoor soccer.
Oh, yeah.
And I never did the short. But I'm always like, well, I did the medium and I did the really, really hard one.
So that makes up for it.
Yeah, I can do the short one anytime. And I just never did it.
Well, cool. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
How's your knee?
Thank you. Actually, the knee's still effed up.
Oh,
and
well,
it's
that's
been
good.
Years. every once in a while, I'll be walking around and it'll just kind of give out.
It just collapses on you. Like, oh, God.
I should have had it like MRI'd, but never got around to it.
Nice. That's exciting news. Yeah. How about your knee over there?
My knee's fine.
That's
Thanks
good.
For asking.
Yeah. So this is obviously not Dino.
No.
Because Dino still is refusing to talk on microphone. This is... What's your name? Your name again?
Where is Dino?
I don't know. He might be hiding under the table.
Do you want some watered down whiskey?
No. No, I don't. And just keep that fireball crap away from here, too.
Okay.
We're not talking about Toyotas, right?
Today is not about Toyotas, which is why
that's like two episodes in a row.
I know.
Something's wrong with us.
I'll do the Chris intro. Y'all doing?
How y'all doing?
How you doing?
Hey, y'all.
Where are you from, Georgia?
It's Jason from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Nice to have you here, Jason. Thanks for coming by
the
studio.
Hey, thanks for
having
me.
We're excited to have you.
Studio.
We didn't really have a choice, unfortunately.
Well,
he just didn't leave.
I know, right?
Jimmy doesn't lock the door, so, you know. And then you fed me and gave me bourbon. I'm not going anywhere. I couldn't.
He's staying the night now.
Yeah.
You're stuck with him.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'll go to the assistant's house.
He's like a lost puppy. Yeah.
There you go.
And I'll come back in the morning. He'll be gone and half of my whiskey will be
That's right. That's right. Empty bottles on the floor.
Very cool. Sorry.
Him and Dino must have gone to town.
That's right.
Jeez.
Dino, I'll teach him how to party.
So how are you doing, Jason?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
It's exciting to be here.
It is.
The studio is very cozy.
How was your weekend? You had a fun little weekend there.
I had a great weekend.
Yeah?
4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday. And just secluded in Tahoe. Tahoe.
So you get away from people?
Well, pretty much, yeah. I did pretty good.
Anti-people?
No, I wasn't anti-people. I'm just anti-COVID.
Ah, okay.
No, it was
social distancing champion 2020.
Right.
So when we were coming home from Tyler's bachelor party, Tyler and I were talking on the ham radio on Simplex as we were driving through Tahoe. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden you popped on the radio.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we're like, what? We must be close to the cabin.
Yeah.
That you normally go up to. And I didn't know, whenever I pictured Tahoe, I didn't picture that area. But now I know the hill that you were talking about driving up.
Yes.
Which is a gnarly hill.
Yeah. And you drove, yeah, you drove right through that whole neighborhood. And it's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of homes back in there.
There are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've driven up that hill a few times. And I have some friends that live out that way as well.
Talk about Northwoods Boulevard?
Yeah.
That went right down to the Shell, basically.
Yes.
And you guys went to the Shell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that hill's, like, in an icy, snowy mess, I can't imagine trying to go
If you start sliding, you don't stop.
Right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Get your attention.
For a while, I was trying to picture where you were. I had this picture of, like, Kingwood area. Kingsvale? Yeah.
Kingsvale. Or Kings Beach?
Kingsvale area.
Kings
I don't
Canyon.
Know why. But no, not Kings Canyon.
King of the Hill.
Not Kings Canyon.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
After you make it up that one.
That's right.
You are.
Yeah.
You can go to Round up there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it was great. Made it out to Meadow Lake.
Yeah.
And,
on your bike.
I got on the dual sport and got some wind therapy.
Nice.
You know, driving the motorcycle up Highway 89 there. So yeah, it was very relaxing.
That's cool. I saw the motorcycles out in the driveway and it's cool to see that it's plated.
Oh, it's playing dual
Normally,
sport.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of, dual sports are one thing, but you don't see a lot of that kind of looking or motorcycle.
Dirt bike. Yeah, well, it's considered plated. A dual sport, so it's it's basically a dirt bike with turn signals and a headlight.
Yeah, and a tail
brake light.
Yeah,
and a license plate. Yeah, no, it's a blast. It's I don't ride it around home because of just crazy traffic and stuff, and I get run down, but up in the mountains, it's awesome. You just get on a mountain road and then see a little single track or a trail and
Not
forest
figure?
Road and boom, go
That's
exploring.
Cool. Fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With that tank I have on there, I think I can do about 180 miles.
Wow.
That's almost more than the 4Runner.
Yeah.
That's because you've dented the bottom of that thing.
Probably.
Closed, you know.
3 gallons less in there now.
Right.
Nice. So that's cool. So you had a great weekend up in Tahoe.
Yeah. So I stopped by the Stale compound. I saw this big billboard out on Highway 80 and,
Did you see the one that said looking for podcast hosts?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. So I thought, well, let me
You weren't
see.
Supposed to see that one yet.
You know?
Oh, I have bad news for you, but.
So yeah, I thought I would just sneak by and see what was going on in the shop, and nothing was going on in the shop, but you guys were recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you are being productive.
Kind of, yeah.
But I'd like to see, you know, some sparks and welding and, you know, wrenches being dropped on the ground and stuff in the shop.
We can make it. We can make a Christmas song out of dropping wrenches on the ground.
Yeah,
that's great.
Here in June, or
know,
July,
right?
or whatever
July.
We're in. Yeah.
Oh man. So you stopped by at a fortuitous episode, and I don't know if somebody told you what the episode we're going to be covering. You did. Okay, he's nodding.
I might have gotten a little insight.
Because this episode is going to be all about some fun axles. One of our favorite topics.
Yes.
I know you enjoy a good axle from now and then.
Absolutely. So. Bigger the better.
Yep. That is your one of your mantras, like follow the bulge. The bigger the better. Look for the bulge.
Look for the bulge.
Anyways. So this is going to be a really fun episode. I've been wanting to do this one for a while, especially once I saw a particular set of axles pop across the internet that have actually been out for quite a while, but they may be gone now.
Uh-oh.
So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up here. But in the meantime, we wanted to say huge thank you to everybody out there for supporting the podcast. We hope you guys all enjoyed the Gear Wrench Tool Month. It was a big success. We had a lot of really good feedback on it. We gave out 10.
That's crazy.
$1,000 toolkits
right?
from Gear Wrench and Crescent Tools. So that's awesome.
And this month coming up, uh-huh. We are giving away a Morflate Duo.
Yeah, I feel it sounds so lame compared to the Cure and stuff. But yeah, so this is, what month is it, July?
This is July.
We are in July, beginning of the second half of 2020. Hopefully it goes better than the first half for everybody.
God, yeah.
You know, the first half wasn't bad for me.
I was going to say, I kind of enjoyed it because, like, everybody stayed home. I didn't have to be in crowds. I didn't have to go see a lot of people. There was a lot of people not up on the off-roading trails, so I got a lot of trails to myself.
I went to Hawaii.
You went to Hawaii.
Antarctica.
Yeah.
Wasn't it bad?
Southern Alaska.
Right? The Southern Alaska I visited. It wasn't... Yeah. I mean, if you...
Well, you're the one that brought COVID back to us.
Oh, jeez.
Nah, so...
It was here. I was fortunately... able to not be on a cruise ship that got stuck in port.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would be nice. I would then we'd that billboard that's out on 80 for a new co-host. We would have had to put out that earlier.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah, so it's been a really fun year so far. I thought it's been pretty cool. It's been interesting. A lot of adaptations and people and businesses and societies having to learn and figure out. But, I don't know. It's been interesting. I'm weird, and I like finding and trying to engineer new solutions for weird shit. So,
can I ask you about something?
I'm afraid.
So last episode.
Okay.
Before we got distracted.
Okay.
You were gonna ask me about GoPro Hero 8s.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And you never got around to it.
That is true. So, the GoPro Hero 8s, what is your experience? What's your feedback on them? Because Steve from Total Offroad Podcast, me and him had a little discussion about the Hero 8s.
Okay.
And from people that he knows that, does a lot of video recording, professional video recording, have not been happy with the Hero 8s.
Oh.
Compared to the 7s, at least.
Interesting.
They feel like it's been a big waste of money to go to the 8s from the 7s. I was curious what your thoughts were. If you've noticed anything that's like a big deal breaker with the 8s or anything like that. Because I have one that I think could be a huge deal breaker, but I want to see if you've figured it out.
I don't know of any deal breakers yet. So I have a 3. I have a Hero 3 and I have a Hero 4.
Okay.
And then I went to a Hero 8.
Yeah.
So the functionality and quality from that I've noticed is much better.
Massive.
I've had it for like two weeks or so, maybe three. And I've only seen a few videos on it. So the quality and function of the camera it's much better than the 4s I have.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
From 7 to 8, I don't know. There's always an argument for GoPros.
Yeah.
Like going, oh, I have the 5. Should I get the 6?
Uh-huh.
You know, every time the new camera comes out, it's like, no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Wait for like three models to go by.
Wait for two or three models, unless there's one feature that you absolutely have to have.
Okay.
But like from 4 to 8.
Big difference.
There's a big difference.
Did the 4s have the shaky camera stabilization?
No, it did not.
Oh, okay.
See, that's the big difference for going from 4 to 8. But the 4 has 4K.
Oh,
so,
okay. Yeah,
you know, and the 8 has 8K, but the 8 has better, as you can do more frames per second at 8, or at 4K. Excuse me, the 8 has 4K, and you can do more frames per second that way.
Gotcha.
But the 4 has 4K at 30.
Which is
all you need for video editing.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, 5, 6, 7, and because they're on 8 now, don't really matter to me.
Okay.
Because if you're just looking for a 4K camera, the 4 or the 8 are roughly the same. So anywhere in there, it's fine.
Okay.
This video stability and the smooth camera are really nice in the 8.
Okay.
So it's that was the major breakthrough for me going from 4 to 8.
Okay. The one major function, I guess, that Steve from Total Offer Podcast was talking about is that the 8, you cannot plug in power while it's on a tripod stand?
You can, okay. But it won't be waterproof.
Maybe that's what he was talking about.
Because the side of the camera, you have to actually remove the side of the camera.
Oh, interesting.
Because the USB-C is underneath the waterproof lock.
Gotcha.
And so if you want to power it while it's on... you have to have the battery exposed, the memory card exposed, and the side of the camera exposed. So it won't be waterproof.
Okay. But if you're trying to power any of the models, none of them are going to be waterproof if you're having a power cable plugged into them.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Maybe we'll have to get you two in contact and talk about it.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not hip on video recording stuff, but he seemed to explain it very well, and it kind of, I don't want to say went over my head exactly, mm-hmm. but I wasn't exactly following what he was saying because I've never had one in my hands to play around with and see. So
I have the, with the Hero 8, I got the like the external mic, like camera sort of setup. I'm not quite sure what it's called.
Okay.
But it has the plugins for it externally also.
Okay.
It's like their vlog edition, which has a front and back camera, but I think it has an HDMI mini output. And then it has a USB-C and it has, a 3.5 microphone input.
Gotcha.
On it.
That's kind of nice.
Where the Hero, if you don't have the side of the case on, there's just the input on the side that has the USB-C. So you have to have the side of the case off.
Okay.
But the vlog camera mic setup isn't, you can't, it's not waterproof when you have this on either. Okay. So, yeah.
Huh. Okay. So there you go, Steve. I got some info for you, hopefully.
Yeah. And Steve, if you have any more questions, hit me up on Instagram. We can chat.
Yeah.
I've only been playing around with it for a little bit, so I'd love to pick your brain on it as well.
Cool.
Now, I do have the 360 camera, too.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had any time to play around with the actual 360 editing, but I'm super stoked to try and play around with that a little bit.
Okay.
I was talking to Hustle Nuts, you know, and I was saying, like, yeah, if you had the 360 cam, you could put it on your axle and face forward, you know, and see what's happening on the front of your rig. And then if something interesting happened behind the rig, you can just spin the camera around.
Yeah, the view.
And view what's happening behind you because you have 360 degrees at all times. You know, roughly, I don't know what it is, like a 2 feet out from the camera, you have a sphere of 360 degrees and you can see everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So you could watch your drive shaft wobble around too while it's in that position.
Yeah, I want to get one of those sticky mounts and I want to put it on the windshield or the front windshield facing out.
So you can watch the obstacles.
Yeah, but let's say, I'm going on an obstacle. Say I'm going to windshield one and I hit a rock wrong and I flop it on its side. Uh-huh. And as I'm rolling over, I could flip the camera around and face me.
People inside.
Right? And going like, ah, shit, you know, and like flop it on its side and they, you know.
Or view the assistant giggling while you're doing it.
All the above, So that's going to be kind of fun to play with.
Interesting. So, we need to get one of those for the buggy when Lorenzo's driving.
Yes. Right? Definitely. We need front, rear, side, underneath cameras. So that's bigger than the old GoPro series, yeah?
Well, this is the case.
Okay. So the camera's still the same size.
Camera's still the same size.
Got it.
But then you have this vlog case that has external mics to make it a little better for vlog purposes, I guess. For
there
the
you go.
Audio quality.
For you YouTube guys.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
So.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing around with it.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't know about the sevens, if you can, how you plug them in.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain over the airways, but, you know, there's a door on the side of the camera that I take off.
Because you just keep it in the vlog case.
Because I usually keep it in the vlog case that connects with the USB-C.
Gotcha.
But if the door is off, you can just connect the USB-C
right
and
that.
Power it.
Okay.
As is. So.
Okay. Cool.
Steve, go watch a YouTube video.
Yeah. he's actually talking about making a YouTube channel.
Good.
Hit me up. I'll help you out. And other stuff. So I told him to get in contact with you. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to tell him that on air.
Yeah.
Tyler already talked to you about it.
So, we talked for an hour and a half, man.
He spoke for an hour. You talked for the half.
Yeah, pretty much. No.
Which is hard to believe, right, Jason?
That's very hard to believe.
Don't put me and Steve in a podcast together. Nothing will ever get talked about. No. So cool. This episode all today. Right. So let's see. Where are we at here?
Focus. We're talking about how great Jeeps are. And that's why you brought me on.
You can leave.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. So yeah, we have, let's see, we got started.
But he's not.
Where's Dino? Right,
he's, I don't know, where did he? He was just here.
I don't know.
Where'd he go? Dino.
I don't know. He might be really small ears. He has. He's kind of hard of hearing.
Really?
Yeah. And one of them's pierced, so it's like the kind of blocks his ear hole a little.
I was wondering what was shiny. Okay, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Interesting character, I'll tell you.
What is it, just the right ear?
I don't remember which one it is.
Oh, boy.
I can't picture it now.
There you go.
So, yeah, we have the, the Morphlight Duo for July for the Patreon giveaway. So make sure that you're signed up there at patreon.com/snailtrail4x4. And then I think that's about it.
Nice.
No.
No?
Nope.
No.
What else is there?
We need to thank all of our birthday anniversary patrons.
That's right.
For the month of June.
We have our
catch up.
June patrons. That's right. Let's see here. Dino, you need to come back.
One year birthdays.
He's
for
slacking.
June.
Get back here.
See, Lorenzo would be right here.
Was he asleep?
I think he is.
Maybe. I'm trying to yell at him. He's still not coming in.
Because he can't hear you.
All right. So we have freaking Dino is not coming back, apparently. So I had to do some work myself because you two are useless too.
Hey, I'm a guest. I mean, this isn't my studio.
I was born this way.
It's not my locker.
Okay, Lady Gaga. So we have for the month of June. So the 1 year anniversaries in the month of June, we have Evan Cook, Jeremy Borja. Who is he going to be up here this weekend in the area?
Should be
coming up.
Or this last weekend.
Or I guess, yeah, this last weekend, yesterday, 2 days ago.
He is.
We have Cyberman. We have Jesse Farmer.
Yeah.
Brandy Dunkel.
Hey, Brandy.
Who drives a Jeep.
Yeah, like Brandy.
Mike Riley, who won a Gear Wrench Toolkit. Mark.
What?
Yeah, he did. One of the patron ones.
Oh, nice. Good job.
If you're a patron, you may have known this, Jason.
Oh, I just don't support you guys. That's all.
Yeah, it's all good. We know.
Mark. I support you in other ways with bourbon and fine dining.
That is true.
See?
Tri-tip. I had a lot of tri-tip on the bachelor party when I was very drunk.
Yeah, see?
So. Mark Keck, Shai Zahavi, and of course, and Stephen Magnum. And one last one, who I don't know if we even want to acknowledge.
It's not the Sherpa, is it?
It is.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
1 year anniversary for Mr. Sherpa.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So, congrats to all you guys. We're thinking about trying to design some kind of gift or prize or something for the 1 year anniversary. So, we may end up getting that together before the next gift box goes out. So if you're on the gift box tier and have a 1 month or 1 year anniversary or had one in this last, I guess, gift box time period.
Sure.
You may get an extra surprise in your gift box this go around, which is September, October, end of September, right? End of September, early October, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you guys. Congratulations. That's huge. You are 1 year old in Snail Trail years.
Is that the same as dog years, or how does that work?
It's probably worse.
It's probably a lot slower.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's actually like 1/3 of a year because you have to add all the torques in. So,
oh, the torques. That's right. Too many torques.
Yeah. Did you hear about Jimmy's rear axle shaft splines?
I saw
all the torques.
I got to see all the torques.
Yeah.
I didn't know the squirrels could push that hard.
I didn't either, but man, that's
impressive.
That's what they do.
Impressive torques. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you shove that thing between two hard objects.
Yes. And twist.
And twist. Yes.
Yeah.
Things tend to...
Sounds like a dance.
I got one for you.
You got one? What do you mean you got one? We've been recording for 20 minutes right now. What are you talking about?
You just reminded me of something.
Okay.
If a child refuses to sleep during a nap, are they guilty of resisting arrest?
Yes. Juvenile hall, juvenile detention center.
Resisting arrest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you hear the what was the one about how to keep a turkey in suspense? Has Jason heard that one?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that one.
Ooh, you should ask him that one.
Do you know how to keep a turkey in suspense?
No, I don't, Jimmy. Oh boy. Here we go. And then here's the punchline, because a turkey is talking. And I'm supposed to like not say anything, and we could go on to a, this would be bad audio for a podcast. I know. I get it. Move on. Where's Lorenzo to protect me?
That ass, he won't come over here again.
Jeez. No. Dino.
So Dino is confined to inside the geofence. And Lorenzo, actually, we put a little shock thing into him, like underneath the base of his tail.
Uh-huh.
So if he goes into the geofence, he gets a nice zippy zap.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't come back.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book about anti-gravity.
I don't want to hear anymore, okay?
It's impossible to put down.
Wow.
See?
Hey,
do
Chris,
see this?
Don't worry. I'm coming back to Wheelie Wine and Whiskey. I'm coming. Coming back. Can't handle this.
Can I come with you?
No more dad jokes.
Take me with you, Jason.
Jesus, gravity.
Oh,
I
man.
Need more bourbon if I got to listen to more of those.
All right. No. So with that being said, and on that note, we're going to take a break before Jimmy can get any more jokes off. So go ahead and grab your favorite bourbon in memory, or not memory, in celebration of Wheeling Wine and Whiskey being here, or half of Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, the better half.
The better half.
The better half being here. And we'll be right on back after the break. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos. I got to bring this podcast back.
Yes,
I don't know
what's
going on.
You got to reel this thing in, man.
Oh, my God. I've lost control.
Oh, man.
What is this? This is episode... We didn't even say what episode this is. 108. So we're getting closer and closer to 110. But this is going to be the fun topics of today's episode. So
what are these topics?
It's about obscure axles, or maybe axles that you would have not have thought of.
Like samurai axles.
Like samurai axles, or samurai axles on riding lawnmowers. Yeah.
There we go. I like it.
One day. Samurai one James day. Will get there.
Yeah. So yeah, no, we have some fun axles. We've been, you know, doing this now for a while, and every once in a while we get to our ears and eyes and nose gets sniffing into some places, and we find some interesting axles. And so this episode's going to be dedicated to those interesting axles. So what are they? Where can you find them? What are some stats about them? And would you run them in your rigs? So
yeah, there's some really interesting ones out there that, like, I mean, both of us have never heard about.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, when it was brought to our attention, we're both like, what?
What is
seriously?
This? Yeah.
Where did this? Why has nobody ever told us about this before? Uh-huh. Why is nobody running this? Why is this not a common axle?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of them seem to be obscure and hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are prevalent, but just nobody uses them.
Yeah.
So it's going to be it'll be a lot of fun to share it with everybody.
I agree. So Jason.
Yes.
What is your favorite axle?
Favorite axle.
8-inch Toyota? Perfect. So Jimmy, what's your
favorite? 9.5 Toyota.
I'm just kidding. Jason, what's your favorite axle out there?
You know, the 60. I think the Dana 60 is just, there's so much out there for it, but, I'm beginning to love the 14 bolts.
Yeah.
Cause you can build up a 14 bolt cheaper than a 60 now.
You can. They are extremely prevalent. You can find parts for them. They're kind of like an LS, right? They're almost like Legos.
Right.
You can build them almost however you want. Whatever you're looking for is out there. You have a 14 bolt in the front of the buggy, right?
Yeah. 14 bolt front.
Do you know what year that is? What year 14 bolt? Like what vehicle it came out of?
I have no idea.
What size is your ring gear?
Ginormous.
Is it the 10.5 or the 11.5?
Yeah, see, I believe it's the 10.5.
The 10.5, okay. Just asking. Jimmy, what's your favorite axle out there?
Besides the Toyota 8-inch?
Besides the Toyota 8-inch. I mean, even if you want that to be a favorite axle, it has its merits as to why, so you can go into explaining why it's your favorite, or you can pick something else.
I would probably say the Toyota 8-inch, right? You know, okay. Offhand. I like the fact that it's really easily available for all Toyotas out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beefy, strong little axle that, you know, is I mean, it has a bunch of upgrades available to it, at least for the exterior. A lot of manufacturers will give you a bunch of options for ring and pinions. It's an axle that, you know, a lot of people are running, so it's pretty available all over the world.
Yeah.
Besides that, I would say probably the Land Cruiser axles.
The Land Cruiser, the 9.5-inch or the 8-inch high pinions?
No, the 9.5.
The 9.5s. Okay.
Those are just big and beefy and nice.
Big and beefy and nice. Kind of like, never mind. We won't go
no
there.
Comment.
So, I don't know what my favorite axle would be. I would probably lean towards either the Ford 9-inch or the Toyota 8.8-inch.
Okay.
Which just came out recently, 2016.
Nice.
Was when that came out. And they beefed it up in the rear of the Tacomas. However, I'm also extremely intrigued with the third gen Tundra rear end axles, the rear axles, because it's a 10.5-inch ring gear. Super beefy. I believe it's a 35 spline. Either 30 or 35, I forget which one. But really beefy axle, right? With the Tundra third gen. So I'm kind of like, I want more info on that. I would love to see some more aftermarket support for it. But I think just for in terms of availability, strength, and durability and kind of provenness, I would say probably either the Toyota 8-inch or the 8.8. Sorry, the Ford 9-inch or the Toyota 8.8-inch.
Mm. Yeah. Ford 9s are, I mean, they're awesome axles.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, you know, they're beefy. They're they're available everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just great.
Yeah, tons of parts. They're another kind of Lego style.
Yeah.
Axle kind of like the 14 volt has turned
from
into
from trucks to cars. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all over the place.
Yeah. So I'm sure everybody knows those three axles, right? Or the four or five axles that we mentioned: the 14 volt, the Dana 60, the Toyota 8-inch, the Land Cruiser 9.5 may not be as well known, but right. I'm sure people have heard of it, especially if they listen to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. And then the Ford 9-inch, the Toyota 8.8-inch. I think those are all pretty well-known axles. They've all got a really nice history. They've been proven. They're strong. They're durable. They're very well... they're prevalent, right? You can find them almost anywhere in the world. So what about some other options that would be maybe similar or have some better features to them than those four or five axles that nobody really knows about?
Dana 70?
Dana 70?
Dana 80?
Question mark?
80?
Dana 80? Nope.
Dana 44. Sterling 10.5.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. What is, do you know any of the stats on that guy?
No, I just know the name.
Essentially, the Sterling 10.5 was one of the predecessors to the 14 bolt.
Right.
As well.
Yeah, it's a massive axle.
It's a big, 10.5-inch ring gear.
Yeah.
So that's Sterling 10.5. But it's a big, fat, huge axle, right? So, let's start a little on the smaller side. Let's go a little bit smaller than that.
All right. Toyota 7.5.
No, that's a terrible axle.
Is that a Samurai 1-ton axle?
That's like a Samurai 2-ton axle.
It's a
Rockwell.
It's a Toyota 2-wheel drive axle.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Montero Sport from Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi?
A Mitsubishi what? Axle. Yeah.
Why
not? So this axle, this is a Mitsubishi, I can't even say it.
No, you're there.
I was there.
You need more Old Elk?
Yeah.
I need some of that. What was that last Japanese whiskey you guys checked out? The Hibachi?
The Hibiki.
Not the Hibiki, the other one.
Oh, the other one
the
by
Satori.
The Yamagaki.
The Yamaha one. That's the one I was looking
Yamaha
for.
Yamaha one.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. So, yeah. So anyways, this axle, the Montero Sport, it came out of a 1994 to 1997 Montero Sport vehicles. It also came in the Dodge Raiders, I believe 87 to 89, which is interesting because it had like a five or six year gap between the Dodge Raider and the Montero Sport. And it's the same axle. So this axle is 9.5-inch ring gear, 31 spline, 1.5-inch axle shaft diameter.
Ooh.
So nice and beefy.
It had a two-bearing pinion, which, you know, that's standard, yeah. right? Standard, nothing mm-hmm. fantabulous there. It had a 59-inch wheel mount surface. Okay. So a little shorter than full width.
Yeah.
A little narrow. It's about a Toyota, roughly Toyota. Toyotas are about 58 and a half.
Yeah.
So Toyota width or so. 464 gears in the diffs.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So 464 stock from the factory.
Okay.
And it came with a factory air locker.
Say what?
Yeah. So 9.5-inch ring gear, 31 spline, 1.5-inch axle shaft diameters, two bearing pinion, 59 WMS, 464 gears, and a factory air locker.
Wow.
The downside to this air locker, I found out, is that it did not like being engaged if you were moving.
What?
Yeah.
Well, we got a problem there.
There's a little bit of a problem there, but but for
as
rock
long
crawling,
as you're stopped,
as long as you're stopped,
it works great.
Yes. If you actuated the locker, it tended to shear teeth off of the actuators.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
While you were moving, or if you were stopped and you activated it
while you're moving. If you actuated okay. it while you're moving, it tended to shear the teeth off the actuators. So, I mean, other than that minor
good
detail.
Good try, Dodge.
Right? So, I thought that was pretty cool. I had only heard of this axle from two people so far. Mud Raider is one of them.
Right.
So the,
I wonder if
Instagram
he had a Dodge.
He has a
Dodge Raider.
I wonder. That's crazy. Connecting dots. Look at you.
Wow. And he took it mudding.
And made the name Mud Raider.
Yeah. Or if he, you know, if there's no grass on the field, you play in the mud.
I think he has a 4Runner.
Okay.
So yeah, he runs one of these axles in the rear and was telling a little bit about it. I never got too many details. But then I got a lot of details from a guy that has a third gen 4Runner with this axle under it. So he took a Mitsubishi Montero Sport axle and put it under a third gen 4Runner.
Hmm.
Which is pretty crazy. And he said that he loves it. And I, looking around the internet, getting kind of ready for this episode, it's apparently a phenomenal axle for rock crawling.
I mean, it's got a big ring and pinion, mm-hmm. a decent sized ring and pinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ford 9-inches, you know, are a legend out there on the rocks, and mm-hmm. this is larger.
Uh-huh.
Right? And 1.5-inch axle shaft's a big, beefy axle shaft.
Uh-huh.
31 splines,
mm-hmm.
plenty good.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Most people take a, like, you know, I forgot what the, you know, maybe Jason can correct us here, but it's, you know, a lot of people take the Ford 9-inch and upgrade to 35 spline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this one's
yep.
at 31. So I don't, yeah. you know, it's right. It's pretty comparable. So,
yeah. So that seems to be the golden year for that axle, the rear axle housing, 94 to 97.
Hmm.
Those 3 years there of the Montero Sport, I believe the 3.5 liter engine is what you want to look for.
Got it. I wonder how many Monteros are available.
That's
you know,
a good
I think
question.
That's one of the things that makes it a rare axle is because mm-hmm. there's not a lot of these vehicles out there.
That's a
you
good
know,
question.
Who,
yeah.
Who actually buys Mitsubishis
mm-hmm.
or Nissans?
Nissans.
Oh, are they the same company?
The wheel hubs are Azins.
Are they?
Yep.
Oh.
And
that
the
makes
front
me like it a little more.
I know, right? So yeah, no, that one's really cool. It's very similar to the Land Cruiser 9.5-inch axle.
It is. Yeah.
9.5-inch ring gear, 31 spline. I think the Land Cruiser has a 3-bearing pinion though, if that's correct. I could be wrong. But the WMS, the wheel mount surface on the 9.5-inch Land Cruiser axle is wider than 59. I want to say it's a 62, 63, somewhere right around there. And it's the Land Cruiser is a full float.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I could not find if this was full float or not.
Yeah.
Full float, semi-float, or whatever it is. So,
Mud Raider, tell us.
Mud Raider, let us know. Another very similar axle is the Montero Sport third gen, and that's the 2001 to 2004 year. That came with 490 gears in the diffs.
Wow.
And 33 spline axles.
Okay.
Moving on up.
No lockers.
No lockers.
No locker options in that one.
And probably none available for it.
And probably none available in aftermarket support. So,
yeah. Except for a Lincoln.
Yeah. Yeah. Put a Lincoln or a Hobart Heligrip in there.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one before.
Oh, that's a good one. I got that one from Chai. He had a couple of them. There was the Lincoln Locker, the Hobart Heligrip, the
Miller. Does Miller have one?
what was the Miller Mighty Grip, I think, something like that. It was a couple of good ones he had.
Miller Master Grip.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, that's the Montero Sport 9.5-inch axle.
That's cool.
And that one, that came with coil buckets on it.
Right.
So it kind of set up.
So for a third gen, you're right in the market.
Mm-hmm. You're right in the money for a coil suspension in the rear there for a third gen or something. So
Forerunner.
Right?
Yeah, I know.
This is a Toyota podcast.
Toyota talk. Okay.
Don't worry, we'll get into some fun ones for you here in a little bit.
Okay, I'm standing by.
So the next one we have here, this is a really, really interesting one. And this is one that it's very eye-catching. You probably know which one it is, Jimmy. You probably know as well, Jason. Very eye-catching.
Okay.
It was designed originally for ground clearance. Okay. 100% ground clearance without putting portal boxes on your rig.
Hmm.
Right. But it gives you roughly the same amount of clearance as a portal box would.
Exactly. It gives you seven...
Under the diff.
Exactly. It gives you 7 extra inches of clearance compared to a Dana 60.
Yeah. And portal boxes roughly give you 6.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little bit more.
A little bit more clearance under the diff than with portal boxes, which is really freaking cool. It runs a 9-inch third member.
Okay.
Dana 60 outers. 35 spline, 1.5-inch chromoly shafts, 65-inch wheel mount surface, and they were roughly $13,000 for a complete set.
Wow.
Front and rears.
Yeah, that's what makes them so rare.
So the interesting thing about this axle, I haven't said the name yet, is that it has that 9-inch third member, like way up high, right?
I wonder if that's also, though, why it gains more clearance than a 60. I mean, in addition to the way that it's set up.
I'm a little bit smaller third member,
yeah,
for sure. But what's really cool about it is the third member is all fully self-sealed and contained in its own little box in the axle housing. And then the axle housing comes down at angles almost like an IFS setup would come.
Mm-hmm. Like a long arm.
Like a long arm IFS setup, but in a full structured housing. And then it comes out to where you mount all your outers and everything on.
Right. And then, so, like, on the interior, there's CVs.
There's CV axle shafts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not...
So it comes out of the pumpkin into a boot, and then shoots down at, like, a 45.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the boot, and then it shoots out on...
At another like 45 that, or so.
Yeah,
or
another 45 to be parallel to the ground.
Mm-hmm. And
it's
so
really
these, are called atomic axles.
Atomic, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they were big. They had a lot of big following starting about 2000. And then they started petering off here about 2015, 16, 17.
Yep.
And as of today, when we're recording this, I went and looked up their website, and their website does not exist anymore.
Uh-oh.
So I think that, I don't know if, you know, Dana and Curry and those guys came in and started making, you know, Ultimate Dana 60s, Rock Jock 60s, and Dana 70s and stuff, and kind of have just pushed these guys out of the market. They did maybe ahead of their time. I'm not sure. But it's a pretty interesting setup, and it came complete with whatever gear sets you wanted in there. It's all built off Ford 9-inch, so...
Yep.
You can get whatever the hell you're looking for.
Right.
And it's all in this completely sealed housing. So if you break an axle shaft or something, you just pull the back cover off of the legs of the axle housing, and you have full access to your CVs without any gear oil coming out, without any grease getting out. Well, once you undo the boots, the CV boots on them, but you have full access to your shafts and your CVs without a huge mess on the trail or anything. So atomic axles, pretty cool setup. I was curious what your guys' thoughts were on them.
Well, I love the 9-inch component because there's the parts for a 9-inch. The racing world, you look at Spider Track axles, you know, out in the Ultra 4 and stuff. I mean, they're just all over the place and they're 9-inch thirds based. I don't know. You get into, all that geometry of the CV joints, right, on the upper and lower. That's just one more issue. Yeah, you got good ground clearance, but as a hardcore rock crawler banging your axles on rocks, I'd like a more stout, you know, tube housing setup.
Yeah, you think so? You don't think these would be a stouter tube?
I don't know.
Housing?
I don't know.
I think they would have caught on more, just the price is so freaking high.
It is a pretty high price.
You know, it's a really cool design. It's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just $13,000 for a pair of axles. You know, like, I'm sure they're out there and they're still probably working fine.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you probably can still buy components for them, you know, because like Jason was saying, you know, it's still it's a regular 9-inch housing,
mm-hmm.
or I mean a third member, and then it's regular CVs,
mm-hmm.
you know, from probably whatever, you know, Mustang or something you wanted to get, you know, and it all works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the manufacturing and everything behind that probably shot themselves in the foot when
the engineering behind it, the cost of engineering.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
sense. But the idea and concept behind it, it's rad just because it's, you know, it's a small package. It's a bulletproof package, and it's lifted up and out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good on paper, especially Jimmy's drawing.
Yeah. Have you seen a picture of these axles, Jason?
I have.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one recently. You got one up on the screen here?
I can probably pull one up here since
you know
Dino
what I'm thinking? It's like an old Corvette rear end.
I have not taken a look at Corvette rear ends.
Old Corvette rear end is what that's like.
It's like a on IRS.
Yeah.
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 Similar
kind of
concept. It's just, you know, it's not the IR, it's not independent.
Correct.
It's still a solid axle.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. So it'd be something like that.
So there's
essentially
the outline of it. And then the back covers come off here and you have full access to the CV shafts.
So they're protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a Humvee front end.
Exactly.
That's sealed.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool.
So, yeah, I couldn't find out.
I don't think it's $13,000 cool.
Well,
though.
No. I mean, there's...
Not when you could go to the junkyard and get a Mitsubishi
Montero
Sport axle for
50 bucks on the half day.
Yeah, there you go. That right.
That's literally just as strong as that.
Mm-hmm.
Just you don't get in the clearance.
Pick up a 14 bolt while you're at it.
Yeah.
Speaking
of
14 bolts.
Yeah.
So, speaking of 14 bolts, 14 bolts are not on our list.
Huh.
Obviously, because they're not obscure, right?
No, but there's something like that.
Kind of. So let's talk a little bit about 14 bolts here for a second. 14 bolts, they started production on the 14 bolt in 1973, and they
do
went...
Do you remember that?
Do you remember?
I do remember that. Yeah, that was a good year.
Were you hiking to school uphill both ways in a snowstorm?
No, it wasn't at school
carrying
yet.
Carrying a 14 bolt on your shoulders.
I was. I probably developed my first hate of Toyotas at 1 year old.
Nice. So 1973, and they were in full production on almost every GM and Dodge truck.
Yep.
Up until about 2001.
Hmm.
And then in 2001, the bigger trucks, so the 3,500 Dodges and some of the GMs, the bigger GMs, went up to a bigger 14 bolt. But the 2,500 Dodge truck used the regular, the old style 14 bolt up until 2013.
Wow.
So theoretically, you can find the old style 14 bolt from 1973 to 2013.
Dang.
On almost every GM and Dodge truck out there.
Wow. That's
right?
Insane.
That's crazy. That is
a lot of 14 bolts.
40 years of this one axle being in production. And then they made all sorts of variants of it, you know, dualies, different WMS widths and everything. The main beef of this axle was they're known for a nice, big, beefy ring gear, 10.5 inch, right? And then that later year, the later model of the 14 bolt went up to an 11.5 inch ring gear. So I went up a full inch to the 11.5 inch, and that's the one that's under all the GM and Dodge heavy duty trucks now.
It's a big pumpkin.
It's a big ass pumpkin.
So, we call those rock anchors.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Especially when you have 37s.
Yeah. You really, in order to run those axles, you got to be on some like 43 stickies, right, Jason?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
I bet you have the same clearance as my 37s with a Toyota 8-inch.
Probably.
I don't know.
Is yours shaved?
A little bit, yes.
Okay. Mm.
Shaved from rocks.
No.
Oh.
No, it is shaved.
That's called being whittled.
It is shaved.
I'd be interested to get those measurements. Get the ground clearance to the bottom of your desk.
Okay.
And then I'll find out what mine is.
Okay.
When it's on the ground.
Yeah.
Do you have tires under it again?
Hovercraft.
Yeah.
Bluetooth and tires on it. So yeah, 10.5 inch ring gear was that original 14 bolt, right? and it had a 1.59 inch pinion shaft diameter, which is pretty damn beefy, right? It's a pretty nice, yeah, hefty diameter pinion. It had a 30 spline shaft in it, axle shafts, axle 30 splines. Shaft. So a lot of people have, you know, beefed those up,
right,
to 35 and 40 splines now. Do they go bigger as well, or?
I don't know.
Aftermarket support on, yeah, them?
40?
So.
That's a lot of splines.
It's a lot of splines. That's a big shaft. So anyways.
Here we go.
Sorry. Sidetracked. So that's the 14 volts that we all kind of know and love, right? That's right. Kind of turned into almost the standard.
One of the standards
for...
It's a 60 or a 14 volt.
Yeah.
I mean, usually, typically, in minus Jason's case, it's a 14 volt in the rear, 60 in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a rock bouncer, it's a 14-14.
Yeah.
True. So this axle was in production from this next one we're going to talk about, which is very obscure. It was another predecessor, kind of like the Sterling 10.5 to the 14 volt. And it's called the HO72. And this is probably my new favorite axle. Super obscure. How many of you guys out there have heard of this axle? Raise your hands.
Nobody.
Okay, nobody. Right. Yeah, good. Husband's raising his hand.
The hoe.
Okay. So the HO72 axle. You ready for this?
I am. Bring on the hoe.
Are you ready to shiver and...
Bring on the hoe.
Yeah. All right. So this guy, it had a 10.25 inch ring. So our 14 bolts, 10.5.
Yeah.
Right? Had a 2 inch pinion shaft.
Dang.
It had a load bolt, which the Ford 9 inches are famous for.
Oh, right.
But the 14 bolt does not have. And Dana 60s do not have, I believe, no, if that is correct. So the 9 inch is kind of one of the reasons why it's become such a staple is because that extra load bolt there makes that third member almost stronger than Dana 60. So it has a load bolt.
What is a load bolt?
It is a bolt that holds essentially the ring gear and the pinion together to help with deflection upon torque.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bolt on like the opposite side of the ring gear from the pinion.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, you screw it in till it hits the ring gear and then you back it off just barely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then when there's a big amount of force being put on by the pinion onto the ring gear, there could be deflection, but then that deflection would hit the load bolt.
And it keeps the deflection from happening.
So it makes it really strengthens that ring gear and pinion setup. I just learned about that. I've heard of the term and I knew about it, but I never really learned it.
Okay.
And I just learned about it the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So load bolts. If you're running a lot of power, a lot of torque through a ring and pinion, load bolts help a ton with strengthening that third member overall. So, load bolt.
There you go.
514 gears and a Detroit locker from the factory.
There you go.
Chromoly shafts from the factory.
Nice.
Dropout third.
Nice feature.
So how does that sound to everybody out there?
I love it.
It sounds like...
Sounds sexy.
Sounds like a really nice, beefy,
like the
quick change 14-bolt kind of axle, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Last production year was 1972.
Oh, there it is. That was a really good year.
Yeah.
It was the year I was born.
That was the year that the world started going downhill?
Nope. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The world became a better place.
Oh, man. So... The HO72 axle, it actually came in 3 different gear sets. I believe it was 411, 488, and 514. Right in those 3 ranges. And all of them kind of came with a Detroit and limited slip options. And then they all came with Chromoly shafts. I could not find the WMS, the wheel mount surface on it, or if they were full float and everything, but
yeah, it's got to be wide.
The main thing about these, I believe, is that you can get the third members from them, which is really the awe-inspiring components of them, right? And you can put them in current day axle housings.
Into current 14 bolts?
I believe so.
Really?
Really?
I believe so. There's a certain axle housing that it fits into just fine.
I wonder how that works.
So,
So like the housing bolts right on to where the
maybe you have to get a custom housing. I think it would have to be a custom housing then, because if it's a dropout third member, you can't. I mean, there's nothing really out there
No.
That would have that big of a dropout third member.
Where's Jeff and Greg?
I know, right?
Where's the true Axl talk?
There's this mystical, magical Axl that you talk about.
So the only place you can find the 514 gears, Detroit from the factory and chromoly shafts, everything, is pretty much in like old farm trucks rotting out in the middle of farms.
There you go.
In the Midwest right now.
Yeah, I heard that these axles are almost non-existent in real life.
They are almost non-existent. The people who have them and run them in their rigs, like hunt them down
for parts
and buy every single one they can.
Yeah,
because gear sets are not made for them aftermarket.
Oh, jeez.
So whatever you find out there, that's what gears you're stuck with.
It's like a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. But everybody who says that they have them have never had any issues with the gear sets. They just kind of clean them up with a wire wheel and go to town, and they've never, ever had issues with them.
That's crazy.
So
that's such a cool axle.
Uh-huh. And then, so after 1972, it was replaced in 1973 with the 14-bolt.
Oh, well, there it is.
So they got rid of the dropout third design, the Detroit locker from the factory, the 514 gears, the chromoly shaft, the load bolt. They made the pinion shaft smaller, but they made the ring gear tiny bit bigger, quarter inch bigger.
So I wonder why they got rid of the load bolt, though. I mean, that doesn't seem
That's a good question,
you know,
right?
What was the thought process of, like, going from that axle to a 14-bolt? I mean, obviously, manufacturing.
Yeah, a bigger ring without the load bolts just as good.
Maybe. I don't know. Somebody with engineering calculator figured it out and said this is better, but...
Constantine.
The only other thing I could think of, maybe, is that the load bolts are a pain in the ass if you don't have a dropout third.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. But like they got rid of, when they went to the 14 bolt, they got rid of all the good shit from the factory.
Maybe you can't do a load bolt when it's not a dropout third. You have to have, like if you're building the ring and pinion inside of the housing, you can't do a load bolt.
That's kind
of
what I'm wondering. Because the Ford 9-inch is a dropout third, and it's the one of the very, very few axles out there that has a load bolt. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I know of any axles that have a load bolt without a dropout third.
I don't know of any.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So anyways, the HO72, the unicorn of the rock crawling and rock bouncing world.
We refer to as the Hope.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the fact for rock bouncers, we should check our facts with Total Off-Road Podcast here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that you can upgrade so many things inside of a standard 14 bolt.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that that's going to be better in the long run. But for 100%. Rock crawling,
you know,
I think the hoe is going to be, could be a good option.
If you can find them with those 514 gears, because that's what you want. And you can't find gear sets for them anymore. So,
right.
Yeah.
Or you just find somebody from 1972 that can cut gears.
True. Oh, man. So, yeah, those are our three kind of obscure axles that we've kind of come across and just kind of tickled our fancy a little bit.
So, really, out of the three axles that we discussed, the Montero is the only one that you could probably grab.
That's your most likely one to get. Yes, 100%.
I mean, I'm blanking on the second one. The Atomics. The Atomic axles might be out there, but you're still going to probably pay a pretty penny for them.
You're going to pay a lot for them.
You're not going to find the 14 bolts that are
the HO72s.
The HO72s. Nope. Those are going to be a unicorn.
Yep.
And you could probably go to any junkyard and pull out the Montero.
Yeah. Go to any junkyard and find a 14 bolt or a Montero Sport.
Yeah, standard 14 bolt.
Yeah.
So we had a guy in our club, speaking of junkyards. He was searching around for some, you know, 60 parts, and he saw an airline coming out of a 60.
Oh, really?
So it had an air locker in it.
In a Dana 60?
Dana 60.
It was aftermarket.
Air locker, exactly. In the wrecking yard. So he pulled it out. And ended up paying like $45 for it.
Nice.
No way.
He got an air locker, yeah. Freaking awesome.
What car was that under? Do you know what vehicle?
I have no idea. But he was in the junkyard and scored it. And he says, yeah, you'll never guess what I paid. And I said, no, it's stupid low. I don't want to know. And he $45.
Wow.
Totally fine working air locker that was in this wreck rig.
Did he get the full axle or did he just pull the air locker?
No, just pulled the...
So he got a Dana 60 factory air locker.
Yep.
Was it a factory?
No, not
was
factories.
Like an ARB.
No, it was an ARB.
It was an ARB for 44
yeah,
hours.
Exactly.
That's ARB. Awesome.
He saw the line and he's like, uh-huh. Oh, I could use that.
Yeah.
So. You know what we, how much time we got?
We're at about an hour right now.
Whoa. Okay.
That's getting close to end of Jason time.
That's right.
It is.
We're going to have to start paying
him
after this.
Time to kick me out. Wait till you get my bill.
Maybe a future episode, we can talk about identifying junkyard gold.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
And
I think we need to spend a little more time at junkyards
to do
that. So,
but, you know, I think that'd be an interesting topic. Like, how do you identify what a golden, you know, golden egg or the
what
unicorn?
Are those unicorns at
what
the junkyards?
What are junk you yards? Looking for under the rig? How do you identify a kingpin or what are you looking for on a specific 14 boulder? How do you count certain splines or determine a ring and pinion, ratios?
Yeah.
You know, some of those would be kind of interesting to cover.
Yeah. That'd be fun. yeah, how do you stay away from C-clip axles?
Yeah. Yeah,
how do you ding ding? Yeah, exactly. How do you tell the difference between an 8-inch or a 7.5 Toyota axle?
Right.
Right. So, that could be an interesting topic.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to do some research and some background, some checking on that one.
Yeah,
so.
Just we'll pay $10 to walk around to Niles a day.
Right, there we go. Oh, man. So, yeah. Axles, Axle Talk Podcast. I thought that was a fun topic.
That was a good topic.
That was interesting. Yeah. Learn, dropping some knowledge there.
That's what we do here at Snail Trail.
I mean, it's useless because you can't find any of those axles, but hey, at least you're dropping knowledge.
Somebody, somewhere.
Oh, I guarantee. I guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, these people that stop by all these barns and stuff and these farm, you find some cool stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of farm trucks and rusted farm equipment out behind my house.
We'll see.
So I'm kind of like, I've been wanting to go just kind of walk through all the vehicles and start looking around and just crawling under them, but I'm afraid I might get shot.
Yeah,
so.
You better check with your neighbors.
Yeah.
Or wear our ghillie suit.
No, there you go. Why are those plants moving around out there?
There you go.
Nice. All right, well, cool. Thanks for joining us again and impeding on the podcast, as always, Jason.
Hey, my pleasure. My pleasure. I need to go home. I think my co-host is pissed at me.
That's fine.
See, because we were supposed to record some stuff, too, but I put it on hold for you guys.
Aw, what a guy.
The love. And you damn near killed the old elk.
Almost. Woo! Almost there. Got a few more there.
That's all right. That's good. That's what it's for.
We can leave some. We can tell Chris we left some for him.
I will.
That's how much we care about him.
We have to do shots until it's gone before you go home.
No, there ain't no way.
No, all right.
Good stuff.
Well, cool. Where can people find you at, good sir?
Jason at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. Of course, on the gram, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So, check us out. WheelingWineandWhiskey.com.
Very cool.
If you want to hear some good banter and hear the co-host, Chris, Lorenzo.
Sometimes. We still haven't heard Lorenzo.
You haven't?
No. Not on the podcast. I mean,
no,
I've heard him.
Say,
I've heard him kind of bitch
at
us other places. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was only around the campfire once. The rest of the time, he was passed out in the camper.
Well, yeah. And then I found out he was at a couple other camps, too. So that's a whole other story.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that one.
Yeah. He is such an ass.
Well, maybe next year we can get him and Dino together and have them finally meet.
That would be great.
Yeah. If they don't get together before that, but we'll see.
I'd like to go to another King of the Hammers.
You would? Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we can still have King of the Hammers next year.
Yes.
Would that suck? How much would that suck?
No. They will renegade it. Yeah. People will go out. I guarantee it would be like King of the Hammers without the race.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you think Hammertown would even be up? Or do you think
it'd just be
people
they wouldn't
there?
If it gets shut down, right? It all comes down to the stupid permitting and stuff.
Yep.
Right? So they won't get the permit to set up the town or run an event.
Mm-hmm. But everyone
right?
will still be show
but
up.
That's still BOM land. It's still open to the public.
Yeah.
And I guarantee 90% of the people that are there every year will be there. And I guarantee there will be a, air quotes, race going on.
Yeah.
Right? Unorganized race going on. So just like the Corona that they did for Shear's birthday here back in March.
Nice. Yeah,
was that the run?
The OG.
Yeah, the OG run?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so you had Miller out there, Shear, you know, of course, Cody Wagner was there. I mean, you had all the big boys, past winners, plus a few other invited guests,
and the OG-13s,
and the OG-13, and they raced for a case of Corona.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
like the original
like
race.
The original race.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fun.
It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So I guarantee you something would happen. God, who won? I want to say Miller.
Finish?
I want to say Miller.
Okay, he got second this year. So.
God, I want to say it was Miller.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Oh,
I heard it was going on, but I don't know who won.
Yeah.
I found out too late. I found out the week it was going on that it was happening.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I need to be
It was
down
all hush
there.
Hush.
Yeah, I know.
You know, they didn't want to turn it into a huge spectacle, but a cool
nice.
Thing.
That's cool. Yeah. Jimmy, how can people find you, hunt you down?
Yeah, you can hit me up on Instagram at snailtrail4x4. You can message me on YouTube or email me, jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com.
And if you have any complaints about this episode or fact-checking, you can DM beer_Andy on Instagram.
Well, none of this was about Toyotas, so I
know.
He would...
I just want him to see what it feels like. Nah, we love it, Andy. So cool. If you need to get in touch with me, you can find me at 4x4toyotatyler or tyler@snailtrail4x4.com. I forgot what the email was for a second. Oh, man.
Whiskey's a hell of a drug.
It is, man. I'm not used to this non-cinnamon stuff.
So much better.
Oh, speaking of, sidetrack real quick before we get into final words. Lee told me that he had a really great whiskey wings recipe. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if I could substitute the whiskey with Fireball. And he said, no. And he's not giving it to me now.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Chicken wings? So,
he just said a whiskey wings recipe.
Whiskey wings.
That's great.
So.
Well, there you go.
So anyways, Lee, you can message Jimmy.
Message it to me, please. Yes, yeah. I would love to learn that recipe.
Oh, that's funny. So anyways, final words. Do you have any final words of wisdom for everybody out there?
404.
404?
Yeah, not the warning.
The cleaner?
YouTube, like, or I mean...
A website down?
Website down?
The portal axles.
Oh.
Okay, nice.
Look at you.
Jason, any final words?
Yeah, 14 bolt and stickies.
There's a third thing that goes with that,
Vroom.
But we're going to go on from there.
Just
and
leave it there.
Don't forget, friends, keep crawling.
What do you call somebody with no body and no nose?
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody.
Jason, what do you call a dead deer on the side of the road? I messed it up.
I think so.
No, what do you call a dead deer with no eyes?
I have no idea. There you go.
What do you call a deer with no eyes? That's what
no idea.
I have no idea.
Yeah. What do you call a dead deer with no eyes?
Still have no idea.
Still no idea.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
Doing good.